Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah. You're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work, live, and play on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. An epic showcase on tap this evening from local producer Sean Dimitri. We will get to that shortly, but first let's check out this episode's track of the week. This is a new one out on English label Hot House Rex. It's E-Freak with Mind the Gap. Great bass line and a real Italo feel to that one. Again, it's E-Freak with Mind the Gap, out now on Hot House Rex. Give that one another check if you get a chance. On to the feature for tonight's show. I was fortunate to connect with local producer Sean Dimitri. He's been around since the 90s to see the rise of club culture in the city, and here he talks production, the highs and lows of touring, and makes a departure from his traditional four-to-the-floor sounds with his latest album. Full track list for the interview, as well as a large collection of Sean Dimitri web links, can be found at the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Let's dive into part one of the interview. This is DJ Wah speaking to Vancouver-based DJ and producer Sean Dimitri. He's been producing and DJing since the 90s. He's had releases on RF, Bombay Records, Nordic Tracks, and Deep Vibes, just to name a few. Additionally, he's gigged alongside the likes of Louis Vega, King Britt, Doc Martin, and Mark Farina. His company, which is Sea to Sky Productions, specializes in animation, cinematography, photography, and music. He recently released a jazz and Latin inspired album titled Fresh Air, which came out on Bombay Records, and he's also just dropped a track on the Winter Solstice release from Seattle label Uniting Souls Music, which came out in late November. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Sean Dimitri. So to begin with, you've produced a lot of different musical styles using both live instrumentation and DAWs, and as such, how do you define your sound?
I guess electro-acoustic, or I would say. I started out wanting to learn about electronic music when I first moved to Vancouver. There was a big scene of live electronic artists here. So I kind of just hung out around and learned how to incorporate my band with electronic sounds, you know?
Did you have any musical training when you were younger, which helped you out as you got into production later on in life?
Yeah, I went to school for music after high school, and studied at Humber College for a few years, and then got a scholarship at McGill and went there and did 2 years in a year, like combined into 1 year, and then came out to Vancouver.
Touched on this a little bit earlier on, but when you first arrived in Vancouver, what was the process and experience like of you trying to establish yourself as a producer and DJ in the scene at that time?
Well, actually for us, we were already doing shows for our band, Shazam. So like we had a sound system, and I was already been in many bands in college and stuff like that. So I was used to booking our own shows, like setting it up, promoting it, taking the gear home, like having a vehicle, places, store stuff to rehearse and stuff like that. So I think inherently as a musician, you're kind of like a entrepreneur mindset, like a hustler or a go-getter to make a scene for yourself, you know what I mean? And I just took that and stuck my brother and I like with DJing before or after the band or on the breaks to promote us as DJs, right? That's how it started.
Okay, and when that was all happening, what was the early club or warehouse scene like in Vancouver at that period of time?
When it first started, there was no DJs in the clubs. It was bands. So DJs were more like an after-hours thing, or there was a couple nights, I guess, that started, though, like with particularly there was one I remember at a place called Mars, and it was on Wednesday. The guy who did it, the promoter, was a live electronic artist himself. Like he would do live PAs, you know, where he'd set all his synthesizers up and his drum machines and kind of jam on a beat for 40 minutes or something like that. And like a performance in the studio, but on stage, right? So that I go there on Wednesdays to see the local people getting up to do stuff. That's kind of where I met people to mentor me on how to, like, you know, how's a drum machine? I never had any of the gear or a computer or anything growing up. So I had to like seek it out, you know, it wasn't accessible. It was very expensive.
Okay, and now when you are producing club music, which DAW do you work with and why do you work with that?
I use Ableton Live. I've been using it for 20 years now. I started on, Notator on the Atari, right? And that was just a MIDI sequencer, or just a sequencer, you know, to trigger off the instruments. And went through a couple other ones like Digital Performer, which didn't really last. Pro Tools, I use that as well, but that's like a mix down tool or a recording tool. Mm-hmm. I don't really edit and write inside Pro Tools. It's more like a workhorse. Live has everything you need, though. If Live was around when I first started, I would have saved hundreds of thousands of dollars buying, you know, gear and synths and cables and whatever, just all this stuff, right?
Okay, and then within Live, do you use a lot of their internal VSTs, or do you have a lot of external stuff that you like to include in your production as well?
Honestly, like when I first got Live, I was just blown away at what it had, you know, and still am. I use the majority of what I use is in there. It's just stuff they have. But on this last album, I was working with some session musicians and they were just sending me MIDI files. And I was starting to get sick of, like, you know, when you search through the sound banks, right? You just kind of go through it while the MIDI file's playing and hopefully you land on one that sounds good. Or, you know, to start with, right? But I started buying some sound synths and installing them into Live.
Okay.
And, you know, using them that way.
Okay, you mentioned dropping hundreds of thousands of dollars on outboard gear. Do you still have a lot of that equipment kicking around, or are you mostly digital at this stage of your career?
Yeah, I would say I have like an iMac, like right here where I'm talking to you in my little space at my house. I have a pair of Adams speakers and an iMac, and I have a little six-channel mixer and a microphone and an Avalon preamp, and then a MIDI keyboard, and that's it. Okay. And I have a pair of headphones, you know, if it's I want to work and it's early or something like that.
Okay, when you are producing a track, do you normally have a melody or a bass line or something like that in your head before you begin? Or do you just like to sit down at your keyboard and see what happens as the day goes on?
A lot of times I'll have a harmonic thing I want to play with, like a melody or a chord progression or something. And then I'll go, like, because I've been doing this so long, I'll just go to my sample library of some of my drum appellas I've done over the years, and I'll just, you know, throw one up, and then it's got a tempo and a beat and a slight arrangement to it already. And then I just start playing the chords on the guitar usually, and play a MIDI melody, and then play with a bass line. Like, that's kind of, to me, how I get a song. I already have the music part of it, you know what I mean? Because yeah. The rhythm comes later, I think.
Okay, when you first started making music, what aspect of production did you find most challenging?
MIDI. Yeah, back in the day when you had to, you know, like I remember the guy says, yeah, you just run the MIDI through the Omni. And I was like, what? It's like you literally have to name this channel to that device through this one to that device. Like, you know, it's just now you plug it in and it just does it for you, right? So.
Yeah. Okay, let's shift over to the DJing side of things. When you are performing a live set, what equipment do you like to go with? CDJs, Traktor, etc. What approach do you use?
Depends. When I was with Timmy, I used to, when we were touring, we would use Ableton Live with a laptop and like an Akai APC-40, or I had some other kind of, I don't even know what they were. They're just some kind of geeky looking ones, you know, and you could assign them to different parameters in the software. Because we would, like, he'd be singing the live vocals over top the bed tracks, and I would have it laid out with the harmonies I could kick off if we were going into the chorus and stuff. We could resample each other, too. I could sample his voice and then tweak it out. So it's kind of like a little studio on the fly, right?
Okay, and then how does that flow for you? Do you find everything usually runs the way that you intend it to, or does it sometimes glitch and mess things up?
Well, it depends on your processor and how many tracks you're running you know, the GPU load for the soft synths and whatever, right? So I would say that, like, for a live setup, like, I never really used MIDI instruments. It was just loops of our own material. Like, it was more like a sample library, right, that you go out and play with, and a bed track for us anyways.
Okay, when you were performing live with Tim Fuller, did you normally have the tracks plotted out before the set started, or did he just know that he had to drop in his vocals when you played a certain track?
Yeah, we have actually, we would rehearse before we would go on tour. So, like, we would, like, practice our sets and, like, go, okay, this works better here. And we would always work in, like, a song that was another, like, we didn't have vocals on it. It wasn't one of our songs. So he could have a break and it could just be like a groover transition to another song, you know? Like, because we were trying to pump up most of our own music in the sets, right?
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
You are listening to the Sean Dimitri Interview and Track Retrospective on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. The show is Techno Progressivo. I am DJ Waugh. You can also check out Techno Progressivo at Twitter and Instagram. Full track list for the show is at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's hear some more from Sean Dimitri. Okay, and then over your career, are there any countries or specific clubs or events that you've absolutely loved to play at and are hopeful to play at again some point in the future?
Best one, I'd have to say, and I'm sure Tim would say the same thing, was when we went to Korea for Christmas Eve. That was just like so fun. It was like a 2 or 3 day trip. A couple days before Christmas, played Christmas Eve, we had Christmas brunch, and then like went to fly home and we had a nine hour layover because they didn't have like de-icer fluid or something at Vancouver Airport. I got really drunk in the airport, but when we got back when we finally got back, it was still Christmas, right? So we got to go have dinner with like our families, right? So it was kind of a cool trip that way.
Okay, and then on the flip side of that, have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong, and do you feel like sharing that with us?
My first gig in Korea, I went to go play there because I had a residency at this bar in Thailand for a while, and I met some people there, and they were like, we want to bring you to Korea. I'm like, okay, cool. So I came back to Canada, and then they contacted me, and I said, well, I'm in Canada now. And they said, okay, well, we'll fly you from Vancouver to Korea, and, you know, we'll do these shows and whatever. I'm like, okay, cool, great. So I fly to Korea. The guy picks me up and tells me my contact had been arrested for selling ecstasy, right? He was like a military guy. And he told us to take care of you, so you're gonna stay with us and then whatever. And so they're like, I'm tired. And they wanted to go to this gatecrasher party, like way across somewhere. You know, I'd never been to Korea. I don't speak Korean. I didn't have the money. And it was like late for me because, you know, the time change. Mm. And long story short, They get me to go to this thing, and I pass out within an hour because I'm so tired. And when I wake up, there's nobody there. Oh, like, the guys that I came with are gone. And I eventually found my way back to their place because I knew the name of the area. And the funny thing is, in Korea at that time, like, people don't lock their doors, right?
Oh, wow.
It's one of those places they trust everything. So I walked in their place, and the guy was like on the phone, and he looked at me, and I just punched him in the face. I was just so pissed off. I was like, dude, you left me here, and I didn't even want to go, you know? It was so awkward the rest of the time I was there, though, until I left. Don't you know?
Okay, and then looking back on your production history, can you think of one or two tracks that you're particularly proud of producing, and why?
Tim's album is a good one. I put a lot of work into that. Most of that album I'm really proud of. And this new one is probably like next level stuff for me just because it's so musical. I really get to pull from other, more of my education and just the life experiences from back that at that time in my life, right?
Okay, and then for your new album, Fresh Air, can you describe what the process was like of putting that whole album together?
It was like 20 years plus. Oh, wow. I mean, honestly, it was just a bunch of old live recordings of the band and studio recordings of the band I had back then that I kind of just went on a, like, pilfered them and just pulling out all the best parts I could find and creating beats like from scratch, you know, like sampling myself and making stuff with it and then adding, like, a lot of musicians weren't touring and nobody was doing anything right during COVID, so you could hire almost anybody you wanted to play or collaborate with them because they were just sitting at home. So with technology, I was like getting all these people, like I told you earlier, I was getting a lot of MIDI files from people, so I had to do the sound design and stuff, which was fine. But getting vocal scent and stuff like that. I had the Russian horn section in St. Petersburg, you know? It's just like a global effort to throw it all together. It was fun.
And can you tell me one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
I really like Nightmares on Wax lately. That all last year I was listening to a lot of him. I mean, I listened to him a long time ago, but I kind of didn't really get into him until recently. And Thievery Corporation is also another really good, I think, for production up there.
Okay, let's take a glimpse into the crystal ball here. What is your vision for yourself in both production and DJing as you go forward?
You know, I don't know about DJing. Maybe. I'm kind of older now and I can't stay up that late. Maybe a show, like a special event or something. I kind of like those things because you can plan for them and make it special. But I kind of like that aspect of, or that approach to music, because it's like a hobby for me. It doesn't support me. I also have a job, right? Mm-hmm. So I like to just kind of do it in a way that I think is the proper way to do it, I guess.
And then closing out, is there anything else that you want to promote right now?
Just that album that we already talked about, that one. And I just went and checked out that compilation, the Uniting Souls Music down out of Seattle. And there's a lot of good songs on it, actually. It's the first time I heard everybody else's songs, you know? I'm impressed. Those guys seem to pump it out fairly regularly, and it's always at a certain quality. So I'm actually wish my song sounded better. I'm
This has been Sean Dimitri. A selection of Sean Dimitri tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. Additionally, a full list of Sean Dimitri web links can be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
Hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, break beat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
Done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Sean Dimitri for agreeing to interview for tonight's episode. Lots of great tracks featured there. Head over to Techno Progressivo's Facebook page for a full track listing, as well as an extensive collection of Sean Dimitri web links. I've also included a link to the memorable Christmas Eve gig with he and Tim Fuller. All of that's worth a look over if you enjoyed his music tonight. If you've enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, you can do so a few ways. Head over to the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca. or Apple Podcasts. Additionally, it can be found on most of your favorite podcast sites. So, what are you waiting for? Up next is Transcendence with Smiley Mike. Join him for a two-hour journey through the world of trance. Before we go, though, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. Let's hop back 12 years in time to 2010 for a track featured on Jesse Rose's Made to Play label. Sit down, strap in, and hang on. This is Renaissance Man with Scat Track. Enjoy, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.